known her. There have been things that that I conformed to her her ways, and she conformed to my ways, and more intimacy has developed, and especially over the last many years as we've spent time every morning reading the Word of God together, praying together. That, she says, is it has brought the greatest intimacy of all. Friends, to know Him, that's what we, that's our goal. That is our goal. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put Billy's book in your hands. If you want the special duo, $30 plus $6 postage and handling. You'll have to call us on that one, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Otherwise, you can get Billy's book right there on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, even for the next year. It's right up there on the archives. Thanks for joining us. Remember, our goal is to know Him and that.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. For the next hour, they're going to be primarily the views of Bob Fletcher. But I just want to point out a couple of things right now. First of all, I talked to Lindsay, and he told me he'd gotten an email from a financial advisor he'd been referred to by the current Mr. X, who I happen to know. I have talked to him in the past, and he is who he purports to be. But he told Lindsay to talk to this gentleman who is certainly has been deeply involved in finances for a long time. And this man had sent Lindsay an email just this morning pointing out the danger of the rise in interest rates. Why is the rise in interest rates important to you and I? Well, it means we have to, everyone buy something, we're going to have to pay a higher interest rate. But the real issue here is what happens to the bond market. Well, as the interest rates go up, why the value of bonds drops. And of course, the big thing is, of course, the derivative market. And certainly, most of the people who've been buying large amounts of bonds have derivatives. They bought derivatives. The derivative market is in the neighborhood of about $460 trillion. $460 trillion of insurance policies to guarantee the stability of interest rates, and there's no money behind them. And if the derivative market starts to unravel, the whole banking system will collapse. And they know that. That is the very real danger. And actually, the interest rates have gone up almost 0.8% in 1 month. They've gone up 0.8% in 1 month, and that is certainly frightening people who really understand what's happening, but they don't want you to understand what's happening. They want you to focus your attention on the Zimmerman trial. They want to focus your attention on Paula Deen and the inappropriate remarks she made having to do with race. They don't want to point out the deficit last year was $1.1 trillion, the U.S. deficit, but that was simply the current account deficit. The real deficit, if the America and the government certainly calculated their deficit as every corporation is required, that's the so-called GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Technique, GAAP, which is procedure, General Accepted Accounting Procedure, was really $6.1 trillion deficit we had last year, and nobody's talking about it, and nobody's talking about the very real danger for the derivative market. Ladies and gentlemen, we could be on the edge of a total catastrophe and a collapse of the banking system. And so be very, very careful. Understand what's going on. We'll be talking about this more next week. But right now, we've got Bob Fletcher on the line. And hi, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. Pretty good.
What
breathe, like I told my wife, to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, and we're doing all right as long as we keep breathing in and breathing out.
All right, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, gosh, I don't know. You know, you hit, you're already, excuse me, you're already talking on a subject that kind of fits into a couple of things I had in mind, I guess, one way or another.
Well, you go ahead and pick them up, because okay. I think it's so important people understand that we basically are on the razor's edge. So the derivative market, if that goes down, the whole economic system collapses. And these banks have been writing all these insurance policies with no money behind them.
That's absolutely accurate. And, of course, and derivatives are the most vague, put together, unknown kind of a financial action that even exists out there. I think it's kind of like taking A, B, C, and D and saying, well, that all depends on E, F, and G, and if G, H, and I does good, we'll be in great shape. I don't think anybody really has a good handle.
Hold that thought.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just talking about Senator Feinstein. Oh, this woman, from senator from California, her husband has been given a no-bid exclusive right to sell all the property that the post office is selling, and it's just a couple of $1 billion worth of property. He gets 6% of that, and he gets it automatically. He was given this right to sell the property on the open market. Of course, he'll probably juggle the prices around so that he'll make even more money and sell it to his friends. But a government property, why would the husband of a United States senator be given the exclusive right to sell large blocks of properties, in this instance, post office property? Ladies and gentlemen, it's all fraudulent. Basically, I mean, it's simply a bribe. Senator Feinstein votes the way she's supposed to, and she is well rewarded. Her husband's one of the wealthiest men in the world. Go right ahead, Bob.
And it's the total property. Now, I'm not sure. You know, they're not selling all of them, but it's just a tremendous amount. I mean, it's billions of dollars. And, of course, now there's another point. See, some of these that have been around for a long time, the post offices, are in an area, that is just going to be considered to be ultra-prime property. These are going to be properties that are worth much more than even what face value might appear, or what the surveyed value might be for taxation and all that stuff. So some of these properties, that's where what you just said. Well, what will happen, of course, is that he'll just buy them himself. That's what he'll do, probably. You know, he has these multitude of corporations that he's the head of or owns or is involved with, a whole bunch of them. And he will probably select a few properties that are just worth much, much more than they appear to be worth on the tax rolls. And he'll just buy those under those other corporate names and you know, keeping the price down to almost nothing and go from there. So anyhow,
he's been involved in other illicit activities. Oh, I've forgotten details, but they certainly traded some property with the government. How can the relative, the husband of a United States senator, be involved in business deals with the government without people saying, well, obviously there's some sort of quid pro quo exchange, you know, certainly. I mean, basically, when you work for the government, you should not be involved in financial dealings with the government. But we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of profit that they made in this exchange of property down in the Death Valley area. But the American people are never told this sort of thing. Why? Because the media is controlled, and they don't want you to understand that we have the finest senators in Washington, D.C. that money can buy. Go right ahead, Bob.
And back in 2009, Senator Feinstein had introduced legislation that provided $25 billion in taxpayers' money to the FDIC, the insuring financial insuring company, after Bloom's company, his real estate company, had a contract to sell foreclosed properties at extraordinarily high rates. So what happened there is it was a deal where Bloom's real estate company profited tremendously on these ridiculous high rates on certain properties when everything was kind of, when they were trying to heal from the 2008 crash. And so the money was there to back up losses that had taken place. And I'm not, of course, talking about any losses at all to Bloom. And in the summer of 2012, the U.S. Postal Service awarded Bloom, his company, the exclusive contract to sell his entire portfolio of public properties. And that's going to include, like I said, coming up now, it's going to be part of that is going to be the real estate for the post office, all their holdings. It's just outrageous. So anyhow, that's something just kind of a carryover from what you were talking about ahead of myself here on the program. And again, realizing the money is all gone already. I mean, the money is absolutely gone. I'm positive that there's nothing even in the Fort Knox vault anymore. Either all that gold has got to be gone. If they will not allow us to go in and look at it,
and they won't even give the German government back the gold, their gold that was deposited with our government, and they said you can't have it, and you can get it in 7 years. And I think as a result, the Germans, everybody else in the world knows that we don't have any gold. If they had the gold, they'd give it to them. It belongs to the German Central Bank, and we won't give it for 7 years. But in 7 years, why you can get it. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 years, I doubt very much that we will have the America that we have today. Go
ahead. You're absolutely right. 7 years, you know, you don't want anybody in the United States government to promise you anything past six weeks at this point in time. But it's outrageous. And one thing, what I originally really wanted to talk about, or at least bring up a little bit, is what's going on and expanding exponentially every day. And it is the unbelievable dictatorial clampdown that we are permitting the government to get away with. Gee, I complained and you complained back 10, 15, 20 years ago about the direction things were going. And like the other day, look, we had this fellow, what's his name, Snowden, all right, the fellow that came forward and actually leaked out a bunch of information that indicated and opened the eyes of so many people about the government spying on us with cameras and spying and tapping into our computers and all of that, and expanding the little knowledge that we had about that. All right. So he right away, he gets labeled as some kind of a tyrannical, treasonous, horrible guy. Now, what he was doing, because we have to have a keep a real clear view on this, because they're doing a heck of a job to try to make people think otherwise. He was exposing criminal activity of people in the United States Washington government, period. That's what he was doing. There's nothing going on there where he was getting paid under the table to give somebody the diagrams or drawings for a secret submarine or anything like that. He was just exposing and coming out and saying, hey, I've got to talk to somebody. People that I'm working with won't even talk to me about this because they're scared for their jobs. But our government are carrying out criminal, unconstitutional acts.
And, of course, what they're doing is listening in on all phone conversations, and they're recording all emails and all faxes. But, of course, he mentioned they were not only doing that in the United States, but in other countries as well. Well, that meant, of course, they're doing the same thing in China and in Russia. And they said, well, that's treason. He's helping our enemies by telling them our secrets. What was the secret? Think for 1 minute that the Chinese and the Russians don't know that they're recording, that we are recording all of their conversations. It's just that the American people didn't know. Now, of course, I've been talking about this, and Joel Skousen, and I know you have as well. But, of course, certainly we did not have the documentation. We had to rely on things like WikiLeaks, and we could rely on the material that's up on the Internet, all about this and about these various government programs that we know exist. But he actually had the official government documentation on this illegal activity, and because he exposed the illegal activity, they've made him the focus of the investigation rather than the criminals in our own government who are violating our laws and listening to everything the American people say or write. And, of course, they're going to be putting that into dossiers so they can track every American citizen just like in 1984. Go ahead.
And now, okay, so that's one situation. We have to watch that day to day. This poor guy is really over, just really in trouble. And by that, I mean they're going to either, he's going to have an accident or a suicide, or he's going to be killed. That's my feeling about this guy. I think that's the way they're going to end him as a problem for the criminals in Washington. And I am positive that we saw a murder just a couple of days ago on the exact same basis, a fellow named Michael Hastings. And he has been he's a reporter. He's done two or three of the same type of exposés on major governmental criminal acts. He's done two or three of them. Well, he was the fellow that wrote the original story that got that major general, I believe the one on his, I don't know whether it's the one the guy that was was dating the girl and got in trouble for that. But anyhow, that ran the major general out of the service. He was the guy that had written that story. He had contacted friends, talking with friends a few days back, told them that he had an unbelievable story on the Central Intelligence Agency. It was going to be the most important expose of his career, and that he was working on it. He said, I'm going to have to hide out for a few days or a week or so until I can get this thing moved forward. 2 days later, he crashed at 80 miles an hour, head-on collision with a pole. And his car, I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break, about how fishy this situation is.
Well, the car exploded, and even engine was 80 feet away from the car.
Right.
It just doesn't happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
There's obviously another murder, just like so many of the others. In fact, the people who were on the SEAL team that got that terrible Osama bin Laden, most of them are dead. I mean, in a number of serious accidents, and the commander commits suicide of that. Why would all these people who are SEALs die so mysteriously? Or maybe they knew something that they didn't want to get out.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we sell. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food. Call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob is talking about the tragic death of Michael Hastings this last week, a young reporter who had a story about corruption in the CIA. And of course, he told his friends he thought they were going to try to kill him. And sure enough, why, there's an accident. His car simply goes out of control and hits a post, but apparently not very hard. And yet the car breaks into flames. But then, of course, when a car breaks into flames, it doesn't necessarily explode. In this case, why the motor was 85 feet down the road from there, and the car just simply almost literally melted because of the intense heat. You don't get that with the average car fire. And here was a man who told his friends, "I'm afraid they're going to try to kill me." And ladies and gentlemen, they really do this sort of things. We've interviewed professional government assassins, and you can get the 4-CD set we have on deadly assassins. And you can actually hear the assassins talking there. This is just reality of what's going on in our country today. Unfortunately, this is not our country. There's a small little group of very wicked and evil people who've taken control. And they control the media, and as a result, they are really using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, and anybody who gets in their way is expendable. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and you know, we've got all of these things in the last, I don't know, I'm guessing 60 days now without going back carefully and looking at it, but for the last 60 to 90 days, these outrageous variety of corrupted events are taking place. And again, if you're not a student of it, which most everybody, of course, certainly isn't, you know, a lot of things will come by. You'll see things on the news, and they won't. They'll look like one thing, but they really aren't. And if you're not into it up to your ankles, like I've been for so long, things are missed. But
I think the Boston bombing, and apparently there was a young man who apparently was a friend of the older brother, the one who was died in the shootout, or at least we're told he died in the shootout. Some people think he was simply assassinated. But be that as it may, this friend of his was being questioned by the FBI. Apparently, he's surrounded by FBI agents, and he attacks them. So they shoot him a couple of times in the back of the head, and that was the end of the story, except that two of the FBI agents that were involved in that tragic incident just happened to be in a helicopter practicing getting out of a helicopter with a rope. And they were supposed to be propelling down the ropes. And both of them, going down the ropes, simply fell off the ropes and were killed. These are two of the FBI agents who were there when this young Muslim boy supposedly was shot in the back of the head in self-defense. Go ahead.
Yeah, and to go to part of all these little bits and pieces of extraordinary corruption, and the bulk of it seems to come right out of the president's office. That's what's really mind-boggling. And one of the things that's bothering me is the president is going to bypass the Congress and give Russia a contract for $700 million to build helicopters that will be supplied, given to on our bill, given to the Afghans. They're going to also put in a few some airplanes as well, but it's $700 million contract going to go to the Russians to build helicopters.
Well, no, wait a minute. Why don't they have them built here? It would give jobs to Americans. It would give jobs to certainly our manufacturers. Why would we pay the Russians to build helicopters for the Afghans? Why wouldn't we do that ourselves?
I guess we've just got too many jobs over here. That's what it appears. There's just too many people working, so let's help out the Russians and give them $700 million to build helicopters specifically for an order to be, here's the big point now, given to the Afghans.
Well, I think that what people really have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is we financed the Russians going all the way back to 1917. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we go into the background of what happened in 1917 and 1918. One, of course, it was the American government and American corporations and foundations funding the communists. We funded them ever since then. We're still funding them. Who do you think built the oil wells, drilled the oil wells and the gas wells that made Russia the largest oil and natural gas producer? Suddenly go up to the internet, and you can certainly look up my articles there and Radio Liberty articles, where we document this from the public records that were available back in the early 1990s. We actually built, we drilled the wells to make Russia the largest oil, and it was all done with American corporations using American money. We've created the finest enemy money could buy, and the average American has no idea. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Fletcher.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Fletcher. And before we went to the break, I was just talking about how we had funded the communists all along. Because Bob had brought up the fact that basically we're going to give a $700 million contract to the Russians to build helicopters and for the Afghans. So why don't we build the helicopters? We want to give them the helicopters. No, we're going to give it to the Russians so they can build the helicopters. And I was simply pointing out that we financed Russia since 1918, and we have a number of books on that, certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, but Professor Sutton's book, certainly Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And then he had actually a three-volume set on the age of the Soviets. And certainly, as I pointed out, why certainly we had actually in the early 1990s, and you can read this in my newsletters up on the Internet, we had actually dug the drilled the oil and gas wells that made Russia the largest producer of both oil and natural gas in the world, and allows, that's what's funding the Soviet Union today, and that basically they're selling a lot of this to Europe, so that Europe is quite dependent on the Soviet Union. And just this evening, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article there that it said that basically Azerbaijan, of course, has a great deal of natural gas, and they were going to build a pipeline so they could get that natural gas into Europe. But, of course, we'd put a kibosh on that, and basically everybody was so disturbed, even the Europeans, because they didn't want to be dependent upon the natural gas that comes from Russia, that comes from the wells that we financed and we built for the Russians. But now that the Azerbaijan could do the same thing and they could begin to bring natural gas to Western Europe so they wouldn't be dependent upon the Soviets, we put a kibosh on that, and nobody could understand why, and everybody was very disappointed. Ladies and gentlemen, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But when you understand that, why you understand why, instead of building the helicopters ourselves, we want to give them to the Afghans, we're paying the Russians to build the helicopters. Rather than have jobs in America, there'll be jobs in Russia. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and you bring up, the situation with the oil and us originally financing it back many years ago in Russia. And, of course, see, the Azerbaijan operation in the early 90s, 1990, 92, 94, in that period of time, that's when that character that took advantage of me, he was the front man for moving all the old to go into Azerbaijan and regenerate those old oil fields for on, and of course, in the behalf of a mixture of the Russians and the Azerbaijan and the Armenians were fighting over it, et cetera. But those oil fields, that was the playland there for Gary Best, in the 90s. The character that had taken advantage of me, the Central Intelligence arms dealer. And he was, they actually started a war between the Armenians and the Russians, or the Azerbaijans and the Armenians. This Gary Best was supplying both sides of them with the weapons and all of that, and the oil contracts and all of that stuff. He was the front man for the United States government on getting that cranked up. And then they pulled the plug on it once they did whatever they were accomplishing. And clearly it's not. I've been trying to get a handle on that, and I'm not sure what it is. But, see, that's another thing that just kicked right back into my backyard, because the guy that was my business partner for several years was running that show in Azerbaijan with the oil. With dealing with the head of the Russian government at that time as a double agent between the United States CIA and the president, the Russian presidency over there.
Well, basically it's the way that the wars are certainly financed today. And basically you go back to the Iraq-Iranian war during the 1980s. And what happened? Why, basically, of course, the United States was actually supplying weapons to the Iraqi, poison gas. I interviewed fellow from Special Forces who'd been assigned to the Iraqi forces to teach them how to use the poison gas to kill the literally tens of, not hundreds of thousands of little kids, 16, 17-year-old Iranians who they were fighting. But we were also funding and fighting, and supplying weapons for the Iranians. So we were supplying weapons to the Iraqis. We were supplying weapons to the Iranians. But the average American never understood. Right ahead, Bob.
And it's almost too much, you know, people to understand. I know I've been up, like I said, up to my ankles in this for so long, and I do it almost full time for the last 30 years in one manner or another, keeping track of it, trying to follow the money, like they said, and see who's cutting what kind of a criminal deal here or there or whatever. And the interfacing on these things, it's so complex. You know, it's really difficult. It's like many, many years ago, you could just sit down and you could say, all right, well, this guy over here, he's a bad guy, and the good guy came in and they shot him and that was good, and here this bad guy killed a good guy and that was bad, but we got the money back and this is okay. But that was simplistic stuff many, many years ago. And it's such an international, I don't even know how to describe it, a pig pen. But they do things that it would take you a year to even figure out. Why would they do this? Why would they start something here? It's like a nothing little kind of a country. But now they got a war going and this, that, and all that. But then you find out something about, like, that somebody bought and got all of the water rights in the middle of this political or a military action. You know, a certain family out in Texas was able to secure all the water rights of an entire nation in the middle of some dumb thing that you couldn't make sense out of. And then a couple of years later, you look back and say, oh, George Bush, the Bush family got all of the oil rights, or all of the oil was one thing. Water rights is a new big thing now. And things are just so difficult to really try to track. That old adage of just follow the money. You can't do it because the money's going in 20 directions and the half of it's gone off into bank accounts that you didn't even know about. I was interested in looking at the program just the other day, the conspiracy theories, and that we have in Arkansas. This huge underground facility, which is part of, as you know, what I'm working on right now on my new DVD. And that's part of it, is that huge operation in Arkansas. And a strange thing that came up in the middle of this recent investigation was that a little town in Arkansas has one bank of every nation of the world in a little town. They used to have one bank that handled everybody's business. And now there's 54 banks in one little town, and it comes out to being one bank for every 37 people that live there or something like that. And what this is, what they're doing is moving a bank representation from the entire world into a small town in Arkansas, where they have the largest underground hideout facility in the United States. It's underground, miles and miles and miles of an entire city underground in the Ozarks.
Well, of course, you know, for the people who've never heard of Yamantau Mountain, it's in Russia, and I've talked to somebody who worked 30 years for Congress. He was telling me that this Yamantau Mountain has 400 square miles underground. It can hold, he said, 300,000 people. I've read other places say only 60,000. It's fully stocked. It's fully ready for when this cataclysmic event takes place. They know what's coming down, ladies and gentlemen. They've got over 5,000 facilities in Moscow itself for the people. They've got thousands of facilities all across the country in Russia preparing for the coming critical event. and we have nothing here for our people. We have facilities like the one in Arkansas for the elite, and we have them here at Colorado and Denver, and some in Northern California I know of. But most of these are certainly unknown to the average American, and no arrangements are being made to protect the American people. Only the American elite in Russia that are prepared to protect the Russian people. I wonder why. Go right ahead, Ben.
Right, and the same one, as large as the one you're describing there, is what they have. It may even be the primary pivot point when everything flies apart and the government elite goes underground. This may be the center point for all of it, and I've been trying to locate that. And it could be that Jesse Ventura beat me to it, so to speak. Now, I had pictures of this particular facility. I've had pictures going back many, many years. But this is gigantic. I mean, it's literally like the size of, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but I need to get the figures on it. But it's 18-wheelers crossing at intersections. And all the rest of that, as far as the eye can see, northeast, south, and west, they're, listen to this, they're doing all of this underground tunneling, and they're feverishly working at this stuff to try and get it done, because they're running on a deadline that you and I don't know about. But they're really going crazy to get these things completed. There are 100 of these facilities in the United States. The one I'm talking about in Missouri is probably the biggest.
Is it Missouri or Arkansas?
No, it's in Missouri.
It's in Missouri, okay.
Right, and what the reference is, the Ozarks.
Okay.
And it is just gigantic, but the big point that I was going to make is that in and around that area, they used to have 2 or 3 earthquakes a year, and they've had over 600 of them in the last 2 years or last year.
Well, let me just
earthquake, and it's because they're drilling with these gigantic drills that they now have that are so big that they can punch a single hole through the side of a mountain and pull a drill back out, and you can drive 2 18-wheelers next to each other in the hole that it made. That's how big the drills are.
Well, you know, Bob, Sydney, we hear a lot a few months ago about all the ammunition that the government of the Office of Homeland Security was buying. 1,600,000,000 rounds of hollow point ammunition. Now, certainly, the U.S. military only used about 6,000 rounds of ammunition a year in Iraq, so that 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition would last for a number of years.
Maybe.
And everybody was saying, well, obviously, they're getting that to shoot the American people. I don't think so. I think that is for the protection of the elite when this all goes down. I think that's what it's for.
But that is what it's for. That's exactly what it's for. They're preparing for the ultimate holocaustic disaster, and this gigantic facility that I'm referring to happens to be, I believe, is going to be what you would call the capital or the pivot point when everybody goes underground. There has to be at least one single contact point, so to speak, for the few that might survive this whole mess. And that's what it is. They're buying weapons. They're buying the bullets. They're building these underground facilities. They're storing food. To the thousands or millions of tons, et cetera, et cetera. And so when people say, how can you prove that? Gee, that sounds so crazy and everything. You know, they're doing it. You know, we have the requisitions. You can go into the town. We've got pictures, both film and still shots, but we have film of like this underground facility that's so big it would house thousands of people.
But this would be dwarfed by Yamato. They're 60,000.
No.
You think this one is bigger than Yamato?
No, it is absolutely equally the biggest, as big or bigger.
Okay, well, that's amazing because Yamato is about 400 square miles.
Oh, this is the same kind of thing. And I don't have the exact figures, but it's mind-boggling. And it's that old story that I used to I used to stand down because we heard about this and actually had the first pictures back in 94. And some of them I used to think, oh, I don't know what this may be something else, or maybe it's this or maybe it's that. But the, and people talk also about the guy put out a book a while back, and he diagrammed and showed the interconnecting tunnels in actually like going from Nevada over to another state underground and all of that. And I was very skittish on that. I never jumped on with that. I thought, well, I'm not sure about that. But now that I've learned what I've been seriously into here for about 2 years, I believe the interconnecting of tunnels, even between states. That's how huge this entire thing is.
What's the name of the town in Missouri? Do you have it?
I had it, and I'm again. It's getting
don't
my
worry,
old
don't
age.
Worry, Bob. Don't worry, but you and I are both a little older. Go ahead.
I have it, but I don't have it in front of me. It's on the tip of my tongue. But it's this medium sized town right in the middle of the Ozarks, and what makes the this thing extra spooky is there is a singular building structure that's built is. Like two-thirds finished now, maybe done as we speak. It is the biggest home in the United States. It's called a home. It's registered as a single residency. It is atomic bomb proof. It is bigger than Bill Gates' house. It's 77,000 square feet house. They can, like I say, I'm using being facetious. But it is 77,000 square feet under one roof. And this is going to be the operational center heartbeat, I believe, for all of the underground operations when it all flies apart. And it is over top of the underground facility that I was just talking about.
We're running out of time. I want you to get out your telephone number or your website where people get your material.
Well, you can drop me a note at Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. Or go on the line and just put in Bob Fletcher Conspiracies, and you'll get guided to my website.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a climax. There is a timetable. They haven't told Bob or I what it is, but you can be assured that what he's telling you is true. And we'll be back in a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, surely do what you say. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
The criminal acts going
on. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob Fletcher was just saying that many of the people like Admiral Poindexter and Oliver North and certainly other people who are part and parcel of this power elite committed all sorts of crimes, and their crimes were pardoned. But Snowden has come forward to tell the American people they're listening to all of our telephone calls, and they'll probably hunt him down and kill him. They do this sort of thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't believe it, you need to get our 4-CD set, Deadly Assassins. Bob Fletcher, thanks very much for being with us. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Take care, Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Fine. Well, that was Bob Fletcher. And basically, of course, we're talking about the things that are going on today, which most people find almost impossible to believe. If you have any question that there are these underground facilities, simply go up on the internet, type in Yamato Mountain in Russia, Yamato Mountain, 400 square miles underground. And then, of course, go to Jesse Ventura, Underground Bases America, YouTube. I know you can get his information. There is a timetable. They haven't told us what the timetable is, but they're moving very quickly to consolidate their power. They have been buying up, certainly, millions of tons of dehydrated food. They've bought up 1.6 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Remember, the U.S. military only used about 6,000 rounds of military ammunition a year in Iraq. And the Office of Homeland Security brought up 1.6 billion rounds of hollow point, which cannot be used militarily. But that's for their defense. These people know that a major event's coming down the line, and we'll be talking more about that in the future. All we can say is make your preparations accordingly. But understand that behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get our 4-CD set, Deadly Assassins, where we actually talk to assassins. We have a 4-CD set on how they killed Bobby Kennedy. We have a 4-CD set on how they killed Martin Luther King. We have a 4-CD set on how they tried to kill all of the American naval personnel on the USS Liberty. It's just called the USS Liberty. They intended to kill them all. And then, of course, if you want to know what happened with the Twin Towers, we have a fictionalized element. It's called Operation Terror, but it's a DVD well worthwhile watching. And then, of course, you can get my 4-CD set on why did the buildings come down, or 911 or 911 update, all important parts of the story of what's going on today. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. We were involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And it's going to be up to you to tell people, to get them listening, to get them evaluating what's going on. Anything that we have produced, you have my permission to copy and certainly to distribute, as long as you're not making a profit on it. If you have to charge something to get your expenses back, we don't object to it. We're not in this. We don't take a salary. We put hundreds of thousands of dollars of our own money into this ministry, but we do this because we believe America is worthwhile at least trying to save. We do hope, of course, if you are in a position to help us, you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you can do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can get our various products. You can get our DVDs and our the books we've written. And if you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. My book on AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. And certainly you need to get our talk on population control, the secret agenda, or on Agenda 21, the covert plan. Bring you right up to date on what's going on. But then, of course, we ask you to give serious consideration to getting the health products that we carry. We think they will keep you healthy. But we hope you want to get the Berkey water filters and the Miracle 2 soap products. We even carry spices just to spice up your life a little bit. But then please pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grieg. William, of course, was for many years the senior editor of the New American Magazine, has certainly worked for Republic Magazine. He's a prolific writer. You can get his articles at certainly at lewrockwell.com. He has his own blog. And certainly he does write the Radio Liberty newsletter every month. So we enjoy having him. And of course, we try to have him on every month here at on Friday after the last program of the week. And certainly William does a wonderful job of giving us analysis of the various things that are happening today. And I'm going to ask my producer to pass William over to us so that we can get started with the program and hear what he wants to talk about. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in very, very dangerous times for America. There is a timetable. The people who are running our country, and there's only a very, very small number of them, they seize control of our government of it. And if you don't believe that, you need to get Barry Goldwater's book. We actually have used copies for you with no apologies. You go to page 280, and he tells you that David Rockefeller's organization, the Trilateral Commission, their goal is to take over the economic and political condition of the world by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. And he tells how they're going to take not only economic and political control, but ecclesiastic control, because, of course, they want to control religion in America. And have you noticed how the music of our churches has changed? Have you noticed how the message of the Christian church has changed? And they put their people into key positions in the religious seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant, to change both the music and the message of the Christian church. Well, without further ado, William Grigg, good to have you with us tonight, William.
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Well, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I'm struck, Dr. Stan, by the uniformity, not merely the predictability, but the monolithic nature of the instruments of mass indoctrination that we call media and entertainment. And the message discipline which exists with respect to themes that are apparently selected by the people who decide what it is that we'll be obsessed about for a given news cycle, be it a day or a week or a month. And I'm smitten by this, of course, by the fact that over the last couple of days that the Supreme Court issued a ruling that is not far departed from the logic that would dictate that the government can redefine a triangle to have four sides, or a square to be round. Just within the last couple of days of that Supreme Court decision, practically every instrument of mass indoctrination in our culture has been promoting the same line, which is that we are now forever irrevocably changed. This is a victory for the impossibly precious cause of tolerance. You have Google, the search engine giant, which is wedded to the government, openly celebrating the so-called same-sex marriage decision, the High Court striking down the Defense of Marriage Act. You have YouTube doing the same thing. You have the New Yorker magazine putting up a perfectly execrable picture of the Sesame Street characters Ernie and Bert as if they were a homosexual couple.
Well, let me just comment. Basically, you know, basically the entire media is suddenly euphoric about what's happening. Then homosexuals do not control the media. The media is controlled by people who hate Christianity and want to destroy the moral fabric of our society, and they're using the homosexuals to do it. William, you go right ahead.
I agree with you heartily and emphatically, and I want to underscore and italicize what you just said, Dr. Stan, about the way that the media is used as an instrument of people who are seeking to destroy all that remains of America's Bible-based Christian heritage of liberty, and also the idea that there are truths that are not susceptible to political redefinition. In other words, these are people who want to destroy any impediment to the unqualified rule of the state in the hands of the people you refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's not as if homosexuals run the media. As a matter of fact, the type of people we're talking about, Dr. Stan, have proven time and again whenever they've had unqualified control over a government and over a geographic area, that they are perfectly willing to annihilate homosexuals, specifically homosexuals, in huge numbers. That's happened under communist rule. It's happened under National Socialist rule. Once the purpose has been served by bringing homosexuals into the rank of a revolutionary movement, they are eminently disposable. And you have spoken before about the fact that people in the upper echelons of the medical establishment, the political establishment, see nothing at all amiss in running huge social experiments, biological experiments that have resulted in the death of millions, the preventable deaths of millions of homosexuals. It's not as if the people we're talking about are promoting this lifestyle, really this derangement of the appetite, if you will, because they find it to be aesthetically pleasing or noble or good. They're promoting it because they find this to be useful as a way of destroying something they despise. And most of the celebrations that have erupted over the last few days in the media and among the bien pensant have not been out of a sense of euphoric joy that something good has been done for people that they admire. These are celebrations that are, if you will, sack dances or victory laps being taken by people who enjoy seeing a defeat handed to people they despise. And the people they despise are Christians. And of course, Orthodox Jews and other traditionalists who understand that marriage has a set and inviolable meaning, that it is defined by the complementarity of the two sexes of the human race, and that among its purposes are, of course, the propagation of the human race in the stability of a family that ideally is presided over by both a father and a mother. That, of course, is not something that prevails in all circumstances. That is, however, normative. That is the normal against which all other circumstances are assessed.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply pointing out that what you're seeing on television now, and basically, of course, you tune in on the news, and what do you see? Two men kissing, or two women kissing and hugging one another and proclaiming this wonderful victory. Now they have freedom. And ladies and gentlemen, these people are being used. They've actually killed the homosexuals. The initial AIDS epidemic was actually disseminated within the homosexual community in an experimental hepatitis B vaccine, which was given initially in New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles, where the epidemic began, and certainly most of the people who died here in America have either been homosexuals or black. The great majority of the people, homosexuals and blacks, and that was the way that it was intended to be. The people who are in charge hate homosexuals, but they're using them at the present time. Certainly these people in charge were the same people who actually, of course, were in charge and funded Nazi Germany, where, of course, they routinely killed the homosexuals. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're dealing with organized evil. And when you understand that, so much of it's going on pretty makes sense. Of course, they've targeted the blacks in America and Africa today. Why, in the major communities where, of course, the epidemic was initially spread, where they used the hepatitis B vaccine, why, of course, you're talking 25 to 30% of the adult population is HIV infected, and they're all going to die. And basically, because this disease is much more prevalent among the black population, because there's genetic differences between black and white. This has nothing to do with intelligence or morality. It's just the way that God made us. Some difference, minor differences, but they are able to use those minor differences to make sure that the black will have far more in the way of AIDS than the white will. It's all part of the genocidal program that is being implemented today to kill off the blacks. Not imaginary, really very real. And if you want to get to the bottom of that and verify what I'm saying, I wrote an article, I think it was called AIDS, the Untold Story. And if you want a copy of it, we've got it. It was published by the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, where we went into the background and documented the scientific studies that showed the genetic differences and how they were able to actually infect the blacks with this mega disease that was specific for the blacks. And that's why almost a majority, not about 40% of all the people in the United States with this disease, just happened to be black. Go right ahead, William.
One of the things that I really want to emphasize once again is the fact that the power elite we're describing, I prefer to call it the power elite, although I find your expression Brotherhood of Darkness to be far more evocative of the type of people we're discussing here. It's not as if these people have any affinity for the oppressed, whether genuinely or supposedly oppressed minorities that they make the cause celebre of any given day or any given week. These are people who hate mankind. They hate us as a mass, and they also hate us individually. It was said, I believe, of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who was sort of the apostle of the French Revolution, that he loved mankind in the mass, but he hated mankind in the particular, which is say he treated individual human beings very badly. I think that when we're talking about his heirs, the people who composed the Anglo-American network, the revolutionary network, the banking elite, these are people who are consistent. They've overcome that inconsistency that Jean-Jacques Rousseau displayed on occasion, in that they treat individual human beings very badly, and they also hate humanity in the mass, which is one of the reasons why they promote, among other things, some of the genocidal initiatives you referred to, Dr. Stan, but also, of course, radical population control, where they have tried to isolate certain populations in the third world and use them as experimental subjects. whether you're talking about some of the experiments done in Guatemala. It's a country where I lived for a while, several decades ago. And after World War II, as we mentioned before, in Guatemala, there were experiments involving highly transmissible venereal diseases. And there were street people and soldiers, and poor people who were infected under controlled circumstances, and then studied by emissaries of the foundation-funded medical elite here in the United States. And we've seen programs that were similar here with the syphilis experiment, some of the experiments involving the controlled release of radioactivity in black neighborhoods during the 1960s by the Pentagon. These are quite typical, the sort of people we're talking about. So it doesn't surprise me at all that there's very compelling evidence that there have been these widespread experiments involving AIDS and other highly transmissible diseases. And I do know from reading, I've only dipped my toe into this subject because, quite frankly, it terrifies me beyond expression, and it makes me very uncomfortable to study it. But that there are a lot of studies underway on specifically engineered highly infectious pathogens that could be used to target specific ethnicities within the human population. Now, from a Christian perspective, the defining text, of course, would be the 17th chapter of Acts, where Paul on Mars Hill says that God of one blood has made every race of humanity. It's not as if there are differences that make us separate species from each other, which is one of the reasons why I don't like to use the expression race. I prefer to use ethnicity because, from what I understand, race means roots. We all have the same roots. We're all made from the same stuff. We all have the same common progenitors in Adam and Eve. We're part of the same race in that respect. That is to say that there are differences, and some of those differences are significant, particularly when you're talking about the ambitions of those who impudently rule us, Dr. Stan. But I prefer to think of us, of course, as being variations on the same theme, and the only color that ultimately matters, of course, is the color of the blood that we shed on behalf of all of us. That's something which is not discriminatory at all. But what's happened over the last several days, of course, is that you had this deliberate and really quite repulsive celebration of what the Supreme Court did in handing down a ruling that made no sense, striking down a law that I believe was put up as a clay pigeon, because after all, it's not well remembered now. The DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, so-called, was signed by Bill Clinton and was supported by most of the ultra-liberal members of the House and Senate back in the mid-1990s as a way of federalizing and nationalizing the issue so as to make it more vulnerable when, after a couple of decades of softening of public opinion, the decision was made that we would take this additional step forward in the abolition of the family as a discrete social unit.
Well, I think that the important thing really basically is the original Defense of Marriage Act passed by Congress under the Clinton administration was unconstitutional.
Yes.
Why? Because it was no function of the federal government to have anything to do with this sex and marriage. And they did this intentionally, long-range plan. Then they could strike it down saying that it was unconstitutional. It is not up to the federal government. It's up to the state government. Here in California, the people voted overwhelmingly for a constitutional amendment to actually certainly have it basically the same thing. Marriage was between a man and a woman. And the Supreme Court of California violated the laws of this land. And basically, I forgot whether the Supreme Court of California or a federal court, but they said it was unconstitutional. Well, it wasn't unconstitutional. It was the decision. It was a constitutional amendment by the people. But it didn't matter what the people wanted. Why did we have an agenda? And basically, you go to the polls and you vote, but it's all simply ethereal because there is a ruling elite and they control the courts and they'll do whatever they want to. And it's all about destroying the moral fabric of our society. When you understand that we passed an initiative in California, which was for all intents and purposes a constitutional amendment, which said that certainly marriage was between a man and a woman. And then you have some judge come along, one judge, and undo everything that the people have voted for. And then the federal government certainly upholds that. And they have a perfect right to. This is a state issue. But what we should have done was challenge the judges who said it was unconstitutional when they had no right to do that. This was an initiative put forward by the people. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. We're talking about constitutionalism here, with respect to the question of marriage and family policy, and it was never envisioned by the framers of the United States Constitution that the general government, as they refer to, would have any role in defining those institutions, because they consider those institutions to be self-defining and self-regulating. Of course, the states would have some role in terms of things applying to property rights, title, heredity, inheritance, things of that sort. These are all things that have nothing to do with the delegated powers of the central government. So back in 1994, 1995, when the issue was first being bruited about in public discussion, there were a number of people, myself among them, who said that it was a fatal mistake, and probably an intended one, to centralize and federalize the issue of protection of marriage in this fashion. Now, what's happened in California, and something similar happened in Colorado, of course, is that you have similarly ambitious elites that have jurisdiction within the state that are following the same type of revolutionary formula. The idea is that at the state level, these people would be more liable to chastisement by the electorate, which is something I earnestly hope would happen in California. It's probably a forlorn hope. California is very much in the thrall of revolutionary-minded people and positions not only on the judiciary, but in the legislature and every branch of that state government. Unfortunately, in the high echelons of the Republican Party, they're just as bad as the Democratic Party there, with the exception of...
But they did, people did vote for the initiative, and they had an overwhelming majority, and they did win it. But it didn't really matter what the people wanted. One judge can undo the vote of the entire people, and we have corruption at the highest levels of the judiciary. Why should we be surprised when we've taken God and right and wrong and God's law out of our courts and out of our society? And I fear that God is going to bring his judgment on this country. And as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. We'll be back in a moment with William Grigg right here at Radio Liberty. William, you go right ahead.
One of the things that God frequently does, and this is something we can certainly see in the Old Testament, in the historical books, is that he inflicts judgment upon people by allowing them the inevitable consequences of what they've chosen. And I've been recently reading a book, a very fascinating book by a brilliant young man, and it's a book that deals with the biblical perspective on government from the point of view of a young man who's sort of in the Ron Paul camp. It's called The Bible-Based View of Liberty and Free Government by an author named Joseph Charles Putnam. He's from Indiana. He's a homeschool graduate, which means that he has a really interesting and fresh perspective on this, never having been through the process of assimilation through the government-run education system. But as I've read that, I found myself reflecting on the many points of correspondence that we can see between ancient Israel and the United States. Of course, that's by no means a new or fresh insight. That's something that was on the minds of the people that created the American Republic. But I find myself reflecting on the fact that the fundamental problem here, as far as I can tell, is that people gravitate toward, if you will, the Babylonian concept of power, the Babylonian concept of government, as something where we unite with each other for the purpose of getting something that we desire, as opposed to creating governments for the sole purpose of protecting personal property, life, liberty, and property, and leaving people free in order to develop their God-given talents, in order to live as the Creator intended. People end up gravitating toward politics, making an idol out of it, which is why I so frequently harken back to the example of Nimrod, the founder of Babylon, and how tragic it was that the Israelites embraced that model of government rather than allowing themselves the blessing of being ruled by God's law rather than ruled by men. They made the choice to be ruled by men, and they suffered the consequences. The consequences were all laid out to them by God through the prophet Samuel. If you do this, these things will befall you. Well, that's okay. We'll take that because we want to have a king and be like other countries, be like other nations. A nation is different from a country. A nation, of course, is a group of people who share the same nativity. They shared the same ancestry. And they didn't have countries at the time the way that we have now, certainly not what are called nation states. But it's very similar in terms of the conceit involved. We've made the Babylonian choice here. We've embraced the idea of government as something that can be used in order to elevate ourselves at the expense of others, to enrich ourselves through the labor of others. We see ourselves in terms of a national definition with respect to what the government of the United States can do to other countries in the blithe and misplaced confidence that in doing these horrible things to other countries, we'll never end up receiving the blowback, which is generated by that type of aggression, or we'll never find ourselves on the receiving end of that same type of malignant attention. Of course, what we found in the week before this whole thing erupted with respect to the Defense of Marriage Act, with the Edward Snowden affair, what we found out, we had reiterated for our edification, as you said, Dr. Stan, last week, this is nothing new. We've known about most of what the NSA has been doing, additional confirmation and additional detail regarding the overarching and all-encompassing surveillance efforts of the federal government. But we're living in a society now where each of us, and any of us at any time, can be compromised because of our failings, because of our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, all those things that make us human.
And hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William was just pointing out that we'd talked last week about the fact that as far as Edward Snowden and his revelations were concerned, we've been talking about this for a long time. We've been telling you that they are listening to all of your telephone conversations. They're recording them, and they're keeping them permanently. Not only that, but your emails, your faxes, they're all gone over by a computer. They're all on file. You have no privacy, and it's not just you, it's the entire country, it's the entire free world, and they're doing this to countries all throughout the world. The only difference between what we've been saying and what Edward Snowden was saying is that he had the files from the NSA. He wasn't helping the enemy, unless, of course, the American people are the enemy, and the government feels that we should never know what they're doing. The tragedy is we hear so many people saying, well, maybe it was justified. After all, the government has to do that, has to listen to our conversations, and I haven't done anything wrong. I have nothing to fear. And they're protecting me from the terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole terrorist issue is a fraud. Watch Building 7 come down. Watch Building 7 come down at the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. It was a controlled demolition. They killed all of those people. The terrorists are certainly not over in the Near East. They're working right in Washington, D.C. And our own intelligence agencies, the one who masterminded the taking down of the Twin Towers and killed all those almost 3,000 Americans that day. Go right ahead, William.
One of the things you said, Dr. Stint, once again, is about this cliche that if we are, don't have anything to hide, we have nothing to fear. Well, the thing is, we all have something to hide. You know, this has been true since Adam hid himself from God after committing the primordial sin, and after Adam and Eve were clothed in the garden because they'd become aware of their sinful nature. We all have something to hide. And, of course, our ultimate hope as believers resides in the fact that we've been given the garment of righteousness by Jesus Christ. That's how those of us who are Christian believers approach the proposition of our indelible and otherwise incurable inclination to sin. And this is something that the government ruling us is gleeful to exploit. They want us to live in a situation where what liberties we exercise, we exercise by the forbearance of those who presume to rule us. Once again, the Babylonian idea, this omnipotent entity called the government, has to know everything that we're doing in order to protect us from those who would harm us, and in order to arrange to provide us with every good thing, which, of course, is the government to bestow on us. Now, I'm not a big fan of Friedrich Nietzsche. I'm obviously not going to be philosophically compatible with somebody of his mindset, but I do think what he said about the state is exactly right. He said that the state is the coldest of all cold monsters. Everything the state says is a lie, and everything it has is stolen. The government can only give something that it is stolen from you or stolen from somebody else. And that's, once again, right out of the Nimrod model from the Babylonian founding, according to Josephus, where he said that he wanted to create a situation where everybody within his jurisdiction would be dependent upon him so that he could alienate their loyalty to the Creator and focus their devotion on him and upon the apparatus of his state. And it just fascinates me no end to see how within the space of 2 days this past week, the left-wing element of the statist movement, there's a right-wing element, of course, as well, but the left-wing element was bereaved on one day because the Supreme Court had struck down a key provision of the Voting Rights Act, which is badly out of date, was unconstitutional to begin with, to be perfectly frank, and how this meant that the Supreme Court was the citadel of oppression. The very next day, they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, and within the course of 24 hours, the same voices that had been raised in lamentation were raised in shouts of praise and hosannas directed toward the Supreme Court, which has suddenly become the vanguard of social progress, because these people believe that the state defines what is good, true, and beautiful. This fictional entity, this malevolent fictional entity that supposedly is the provider of all good things, including security and safety, is the ultimate arbiter of what is moral, what is just, what is proper. And it has the power to cause the sun to rise, the sun to set, to cause the rain to fall. It can alter the climate. It can stop the rise of the oceans, as Barack Obama said back in 2008 after he clinched the Democratic nomination. It can redefine an institution like marriage. Perhaps it can redefine what place the visible spectrum, the color red, would be, and, of course, what shape a triangle would assume. And this is idolatry. It is the besetting sin of the human condition, and boy, the United States has a horrible case of it.
Well, I fear that this is going to be coming to an end very soon, because we are not only morally bankrupt or financially bankrupt, and countries throughout the world are losing confidence, beginning to organize to circumvent the United States. Our currency, I would suspect within a year, will have very, very little value, and the majority of our people will be impoverished. It's going to be a fascinating year. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest this evening, William Grieg, right here at Radio Liberty.
Storm clouds gather far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so in a solemn prayer.
William, you go right ahead.
I find myself reflecting, Dr. Stan, on the fact that I believe it was both Benjamin Franklin and Duc de Rochefoucauld who said that experience keeps the dear school, but fools will have none other. You're exactly right when you say that the illusion we've been living in is going to evaporate very quickly, and it's most likely going to happen this fall. There have been some very potent signals being sent by some eminently observable people that we're headed for the end of the stock market boom. It crested 15,000 again this last week for reasons that defy understanding. I mean, even with the overwhelming influence of the Federal Reserve pumping so-called liquidity into the market, there's only so much they can do to sustain the illusion of prosperity. And of course, it's completely disconnected from what's going on in the economy right now in terms of job creation, in terms of people having the minimal necessary of financial wherewithal to meet their bills. Something like 76% of the population right now is living literally paycheck to paycheck. No savings at all whatsoever, let alone the savings level that would be appropriate to withstand 6 months of unemployment or even a sudden medical emergency. That's 76% of the public. And yet consumer confidence, we're told, has been increasing. And when people are capable of delusions of that order of magnitude in the teeth of the type of evidence that we're seeing, that, once again, does not speak well of the spiritual or the intellectual health of the American electorate. And that's one of the reasons why we fall prey to these generated, manipulated illusions. And I think that at some point over the next year, year and a half or so, when we find ourselves a piece of this very vicious global financial crisis and economic crisis, the padding is going to be removed from the instrumentality of oppression. And what we're talking about now in terms of theoretical impositions and theoretical hardships will become a very tangible reality.
Hold that thought. I guess William Greig, and basically Chris Woodham, is just talking about sort of the inconsistencies of so much of what's going on today. But it's very obvious, it should be very obvious to anybody who's looking and seeing what's going on, that most Americans are a real financial problem. Probably 76% of them have no significant savings. They would not be able to survive 6 months without certainly, without a source of income. Of course, we have food stamps. We have certainly all sorts of wonderful social programs. The only trouble is we can't afford them. Basically, last year, the deficit, federal deficit, was $1.1 trillion. Now, that, of course, is the artificial deficit. If you use the same accounting techniques that every corporation were to use, it's called GAAP, the Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, why the deficit for the year 2012 was actually $6.6 trillion. But they can't tell the American people. Now they tell us that things are getting better. We're only going to have a deficit maybe about $600 billion this year, $650 billion. It's not going to be a trillion. Well, we don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. We're actually running behind. But basically, of course, we're going to see massive increase in our deficits. They're lying to us about what's going on. We're spending money we don't have. We're providing food stamps. They have to borrow the money to do that. We're providing all sorts of welfare benefits and health benefits. They have to borrow the money. How long can you continue borrowing money to fund the socialist welfare state? And you can't do it indefinitely, because sooner or later, why, you run out of money and you run out of people who will actually lend to you, and then you actually have to simply let the whole thing collapse and start in all over again. Go right ahead, William.
It's interesting you bring up the SNAP program, the food stamp program, because it's increased, 100%, I think, under Barack Obama. It increased about 33% under George W. Bush, for those who think that this is exclusively a reflection and an indictment of Barack Obama, who's obviously somebody for whom I have no brief. I mean, Obama is a horrible reproach to any concept of what this country is supposed to be.
Let me just briefly point out that back in the 1960s, there were two communists, hardline communists, who hated America. They were named Cloward and Piven. Mm-hmm. Cloward and Piven. You can look this up on the internet if you'd like to verify what I'm saying. And they wrote an article, and I believe it was in The Nation or some other magazine, in the mid-1960s, and they said, look, we want to destroy America, but America is so strong and vibrant, there's no way we can destroy it by ordinary means. So what we're going to have to do is we'll simply push all these untenable social programs. We will simply provide all sorts of wonderful benefits we can't afford. We will bankrupt the nation, and the whole system of government will collapse. We will intentionally do this, and we will certainly be providing all these social benefits. Well, that's exactly what Obama is doing. Obama is a hardline socialist, and he's having to borrow money. He's actually doubled the number of people on food stamps. He has people actually recruiting people to get food stamps. Why would you do that when you don't have the money to afford them? Unless maybe you wanted to destroy the nation. Could it be that Barack Hussein Obama's loyalty is not to America, but to some other force? Go right ahead, William.
Oh, I don't doubt for a second that's the case. And in talking with people about Mr. Obama and his origins and his rather exotic background, I've said I'm not at all convinced that he's a Kenyan, but he is certainly a Keynesian. I don't know whether or not he's a secret Muslim, but he's an overt Marxist. And, of course, it's the second of those two descriptions, those two parallel descriptions, that we find the real danger here. And I do think that in Mr. Obama's administration, we're seeing somebody who is definitely trying to overload the system. there was an overture in the Bush administration when you had the radical expansion of Medicare, which is something that was literally extorted from the recalcitrant House Republicans, many of whom were dragooned and then browbeaten into approving this multi-trillion dollar enrichment of entitlement program, another unfunded liability. This was done at the most superficial level, of course, for the political advantage of the Republican Party going into the 2004 election. But this also, I think, would be compatible with the overarching strategy you described, the powered pivot strategy you described, Dr. Stan, simply overloading the system and forcing it to collapse, using its collapse to justify the creation of a new and overtly centralized, ideologically socialist system instead. We're definitely heading in that direction. The thing that I find most remarkable here is the shamelessness of Mr. Obama in terms of living like an aristocrat, even as he preaches the doctrine of the embattled proletariat. I mean, he's right now touring Africa, which is a continent that is mired in poverty because of government intervention, because of imperial politics, certainly, but also because the residue left behind after the empires departed was that of centralized big man style socialist, often tribal socialist government. It's, of course, overrun with every manner of social pathology and literal pathology in the case of AIDS, which you mentioned earlier. And this is an imperial progress on the part of Mr. Obama and his retinue that's going to cost us $100 million. $100 million so they can tour Africa to no particular effect, no obvious beneficial and constitutionally justifiable purpose. And Africa, of course, is now being looked upon as another theater for the American empire to express itself. When you're talking about the completely, the patently unconstitutional war back in 2011, where Mr. Obama, working with Saudi Arabia primarily and the Arab League, managed to have an immaculately conceived war, which Congress is not in any way involved. You had Saudi Arabia cut a deal with the Obama administration where, in exchange for their support for the Libyan initiative, they were to receive a large allotment of military hardware they would use to put down a restive population in a neighboring emirate. And then the Arab League put forward a petition to the Security Council of the United Nations for a no-fly zone around Libya. And that was approved by the Security Council at a time when Congress was out of session, which meant that Congress was not at all involved in this decision. And the Obama administration justified this using, among other things, the United Nations Participation Act of 1945, which means that there's a standing declaration of war that the president can employ in order to circumvent Congress anytime he wants to commit the United States government to war. He just has to invoke the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter and then wrangle some kind of an authorization, probably a Chapter 7 authorization out of the UN Security Council, that's the equivalent of the Declaration of War for the UN, and Congress basically is completely out of the loop. And Secretary of Defense Panetta was actually asked about this after the fact, and Secretary of Defense Panetta said in so many words that Congress at best has a role of consulting in a decision that the president makes pursuant to the United Nations Charter or the treaty of a multilateral organization. That's the sort of thing that is, once again, perfectly Babylonian in the way that it functions. Why was it, once again, that the Israelites wanted to have a king? They wanted to have a king so he would lead their nation into battle, just like the nations that surrounded them. The nations that surrounded them subscribed to the Babylonian model of government. In ancient Babylon, according to Will and Ariel Durant, of course, neither of them was a believer. They were both thoroughly secular historians in their outlook. Both of them, actually, toward the end of his life, Will Durant became at first grudgingly respectful of Christendom as a cultural and moral force. And then in emulation, perhaps, of François Orwell, Voltaire, his idol at one point, Will Durant took the Catholic sacraments on his deathbed. Who knows if he actually had a conviction of the heart regarding Christ and the Christian gospel. But the fact is that toward the end of his life, he had doubts about his doubts, and his doubts actually became curiosity. And that's a healthy place to be. But in their study of Babylon, in their book, Our Oriental Heritage, Will Durant was the acknowledged author, although his future wife, Ariel, helped him out a great deal with the research. They have a fascinating description of the Babylonian religion. I've shared this before, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I've certainly written about it, where Babylon, of course, had an anarchic profusion of deities. There were deities, multiple deities for every household. Every household had its own little idol. And usually they had idols that were specialized for various undertakings. They could supposedly provide the worshiper with success in business, or good health, or conquests of a romantic or carnal nature. And of course, Babylon had war gods. Every one of these pagan societies had war gods. These were, of course, the most powerful, coveted ones. But none of these deities was said to provide redemption of sin. And of course, sin is a concept with which we're all familiar, irrespective of our words. And none of them promised or extended the promise of life after physical death. And so they all were obsessed with things of this world and material concerns and material pursuits. And once again, I'm struck, and one of the reasons I'm reflecting on this, Dr. Stan, at this point, is not just what happened a couple of days ago with the Defense of Marriage Act being struck down. And then, once again, I must stipulate the Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional. It was a clay pigeon. It was put up there to be struck down after a decent interval in order to accomplish certain designs. And I think Bill Clinton's actually admitted as much. But it's not just what happened a few days ago that's causing me to reflect on this, but also what's approaching next week with Independence Day. And Independence Day has become something completely different from what it was intended to be, as is the case with most of our civic holidays, and certainly our religious holidays. Well, Independence Day was supposed to celebrate the assertion of the American colonists of self-evident truth, having to do with the individual, his rights, the purpose of his creation, his relationship to the Creator, and his relationship with each other. The whole purpose of Independence Day originally was to say that no government has the right to impose things upon human beings who are made to be free. And it was an act of repudiation of an allegiance. That's something that most people don't get. Independence Day was about an insurrection against constituted authority in defense of the rule of law. We were taking back, I shouldn't use the collective pronoun, our ancestors were taking back their consent from a government that no longer deserved it. It was a celebration, in other words, of the idea that we have the right to repudiate the government ruling us if that government has become an idol, that is to say, an entity that has transgressed the limitations that were assigned to it, that when governments abuse the rights of the governed, they cease to become governments. They're just criminal syndicates. Most governments start out that way. I'd make the case that all governments start out that way. Now, the 4th of July, as it's referred to, it's no longer Independence Day. The 4th of July becomes this bizarre Roman event, the Saturnalia of nationalism, where we're exalting the destructive capacity of the government that rules us. And we're told to take pride in the ability of the federal government to impose its will upon those who resist its will. We're supposed to identify with a distant and increasingly and overtly authoritarian or even totalitarian entity out of a perversion of patriotism. Patriotism, of course, is a healthy love for one's country. It has nothing to do necessarily with love for one's government. And true patriots can understand patriots from other countries. I can understand why a French or a German or a Russian patriot loves his country because I love mine. Unfortunately, we end up in the situation we're supposed to identify so strongly with the government that rules us. We miss the deeper and weightier matters of the law, to use the biblical expression. We miss the fact that Independence Day is supposed to be a celebration of the rule of law that restrains the government and that protects our rights and protects our ability to defend our property, beginning with ourselves and our family. And that, of course, is where idolatry leads us. That's something that's made very vivid in the Hebrew scriptures, particularly. And, of course,
this point, I'm going to have to interrupt you. I agree with everything you're saying. We have a wonderful, wonderful country. We have a wonderful tradition. But unfortunately, it's been taken over by a subversive group that really has nothing to do, that doesn't believe in ideas of freedom, that is using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world totalitarian regime and to destroy the foundation of our economic system and to destroy Christianity. And that's certainly why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and Christmas and Easter out of our schools and out of our institutions and have substituted all sorts of worship of state rather than worship of God. Well, William, before we go on, I wanted to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get your website, get your information, get your books.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or go to start page or go.go or Google if you have to, and just type in William N. Grigg or William Norman Grigg, and Pro Libertate should be the first return. And at the bottom of every essay, there is a PayPal button. And I am deeply grateful to you, Dr. Stan, and to so many generous people who contributed by way of PayPal. That is the chief source of sustenance for myself and my family right now. And we literally couldn't make it without the help of many generous people, for which we're eternally grateful. I also publish a lot of material at lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. And there's a blog section on that page where I post short-form essays on various subjects. My radio show, which is called Freedom Zealot Radio, is on every Saturday night from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock Mountain Time. That would be 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Pacific Time. Go to LibertyRoundtable.com. That's one word, LibertyRoundtable.com. And look at the right-hand side of the page for the Listen Live button. Click on that. And you'll find a media player that you can use to listen to it live from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock Central. Once again, LibertyRoundtable.com. The name of the program is Freedom Zealot Radio. It's on every Saturday night, once again, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Mountain Time. I also have been doing some work for the Next News Network. There's a new documentary coming out called Crosshairs, which is about the IRS scandal. I don't know when that's going to be available for download and also on DVD, but there should be a notice on nextnewsnetwork.com sometime in the next little while. Nextnewsnetwork.com. The name of the documentary is called Hotline. It's about an hour long. I think they're in the final mix down of that video documentary. That should be available sometime very soon, and next time we get together, Dr. Stan, hopefully I'll have news on that.
Right? Well, I hope you let us know, and certainly we'll want to get it, and perhaps we can help get it distributed. My guest has certainly been William Grigg. I hope that you'll take into account what he's saying, certainly one of the most astute observers we have, and I'm really flattered that he will write our newsletter for us and that he will come on with us on a regular basis. Here, the last program of every week. Again, William Grigg, go to his website. There's a PayPal button at the bottom of every page, and if you can help him, please do. We'll be back in a moment. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, once again, it's always a blessing to be with you, and it's a privilege to have an opportunity to talk with you and your audience, for whom I have tremendous respect, not only for what you've done, but also for the fact that you have an audience of activists and people who are deeply committed to the cause of human liberty and to the cause of what's good, true, and beautiful. And we're living in a time when all of those things are at a premium. Our liberties are rapidly evanescing in front of our eyes. And, of course, what is good, true, and beautiful is under unremitting assault by many, if not most, of the same personalities who are trying to destroy our liberty. And there's a very good reason for that, which is that people cannot behave in a way that is consummately uncivilized and vulgar and expect to be free. Freedom begins with a reciprocal understanding of the rights of the individual that is rooted in appreciation of the fact that we are unique creations of an eternal God, of a creator. The necessary predicate for a civilized society is an understanding of that fact. That's why the ultimate law of all human contact, is the golden rule, which is, you know, one half of the two great commandments. You know, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And I find myself often despairing because of the fact that we seem to be determined to check off every box and every conceivable checklist of imperial decline. It looks like we're going to run the table of every error that has been made by every previous human society. And that shouldn't surprise us. We have been told, we've been warned by both scripture and by philosophers, astute observers, that this is something that would likely happen. But I am heartened to know that there are so many people, like the members of your audience, Dr. Stan, who very much care, who have a commitment to human liberty and to the best that our country embodies, that run deeper than the marrow of their bones. It's written on their souls. So as Independence Day approaches, that's something in which I'm taking some solace and comfort, and I certainly hope that we'll continue to have this fellowship and that it will be strengthened as the adversity that we're expecting begins to close in all around us.
Well, I want to remind you, we're not going to be doing a program on next Friday. We're going to take off the 4th and the 5th. I don't usually do that, but we will do that. And then, of course, if you are, I hope you're working on our latest newsletter so we get,
yes,
to get that out. Anyway, God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week, a week after next. So God bless. And thank you so much for being with us tonight.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed our conversation with William Grieg. He's certainly one of my favorite guests, one of the most insightful observers we have. Well, this is the time when, of course, I have to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And basically, of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can certainly get the DVDs or the CD sets or the books or the other items that we carry. We carry a wonderful group of syllabuses and the things that you need to have to be able to interpret and understand the events that are taking place today. But if we could simply summarize it, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And there really are satanic forces out there. They're not imaginary. They're real. There really are people who belong to satanic and Luciferian organizations that are totally flagrant in what they do. And if you doubt that, certainly you need to get certainly Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies. And certainly we have used copies. You can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. And on page 280, he talks about David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission and how their goal is to take over, seize control of the political government of the United States. The goal of the Trilateral Commission is to seize control of the political government of the United States. They have, if you don't know what they've done, certainly every president and or vice president of the United States from 1977 to 2009, whether they be Republican or Democrat, has come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, as of all the key people, and certainly are almost all the key people. And when Barack Obama became president, why, he immediately appointed, of the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission, the North American chapter, 11 of them were his key advisors, and his national security advisor, the most important person in the Obama administration, always comes from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And of course, that's General James Jones, Thomas Donilon, and now Susan Rice. And what is their goal? What is their objective? Well, go to their website, trilateral.org. Trilateral.org, and look at their logo. Look at their logo. You'll see it's made up of three curved sixes. But if you look very closely and you have a creative mind, you can see the sixes there. Sixes. Six. 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 Bound together in the central by an upside-down broken cross. Very, very similar to Nero's cross, which was identified with Nero, who certainly 2,000 years ago burned down Rome and then blamed it on the Christians. An upside-down broken cross. You can go to their website. Understand, this is not imaginary. This is real. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what's really going on today. And certainly, if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to give it serious consideration. Because, of course, the claims of Christianity, of traditional Christianity, are true, although they put their people into the seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant, and they've changed the music and the message and the thrust of our church. And some of the highest people in both the Catholic and Protestant church have come out of the dark side. And believe me, this is true if you research what's happened. And you'll find that even the current Pope, Pope Francis, has talked about the gay lobby working at the highest levels of the Vatican. What would that be? That would be the cardinals, ladies and gentlemen. The gay lobby. But don't take my word for it. Go off on the internet and simply type in Pope Francis, gay lobby, Vatican. You'll find what I'm telling is true, but they're in the Protestant church. And they're working at the highest levels of our society. Understand we're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with gold. God bless America.